Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. My name is Lea Bilaiva, and today we're talking about the Catalan Human Towers Castells. For over 200 years, Catalans have celebrated the sky-reaching tradition of castells, literally castles, when groups of people get together and climb on top of each other to create the highest castle. Although suffering waves of decline up to the point of disappearing, the tradition had its renaissance in the 1980s, and in 2010, UNESCO included the castells on the list of intangible cultural heritage of humanity, which made Human Towers' popularity reach unprecedented heights. On today's podcast, we will talk to one of the largest collas or castells groups, Els Castellers de Vilafranca, about the importance of a good mental health when doing the activity. And we will also hear from the Castellers of London, who took the tradition beyond the Catalan borders. I'm joined today by Oriol Escuder. Welcome back, Oriol.
Hello. Hi, Lea.
Great to have you back.
Great to be back.
So I guess many of our listeners have seen the castells in person during a celebration in Catalonia, or at least on a photo or in a video. But for those who don't know what it is, maybe we can start by describing what it actually is visually.
Yeah, the castells are a traditional cultural activity from Catalonia where participants build a human tower. There's not much to it. The towers are composed of different levels of people basically standing on the shoulders of those below. And usually there's like a huge base of people, then the intermediate levels of the tower, and a small child or a few small children at the top.
And when the child reaches the top, it raises their arm, and that signifies that the castell has reached its final level, right?
The castell is complete, basically. And that person is called Enchaneta.
Enchaneta.
Which you'll find a very common word in the castell world, because it's the moment of reaching the top of the castle. It's not the end, though, because then they have to dismantle it, which is very hard to do as well. But it's an epic moment.
It is. So basically the purpose is to build the highest tower. And I mentioned before that this tradition had started in the 18th century or over 200 years ago.
Yes, it comes actually from Valencia. There was a traditional dance they would do in Valencia called the Muxiganga. And the dance ended with sort of like raising a human tower. Very small. And then in the 18th century, this was started to being practiced in Valls, in Tarragona. But Catalans sort of forgot about the dance and only kept the part where they raised a person. And that, with years, evolved into what we today know as human towers.
And the main season of castells runs from San Juan, which means June 24th, to mid-October. But today, actually, castells are being practiced and erected during Festas Majors, so all year round. And they are also accompanied by a special piece of music called Toc de Castell. So let's have a listen and see what it sounds like.
Toc de Castells is made with gralles, a traditional Catalan wind instrument, and drums called timbales. And it's a very epic song, and it marks the speed and rhythm for the castellers to know at what stage the castle is. So it's very important. It starts to sound when the castle is midway through, and when the child who climbs the top, the Enchaneta, is about to reach the top, the musicians play this part of the song.
Oh, I really like the song. When you go and see castells, you really get into the whole feeling when you see it and when they play it. And then when everyone starts clapping, it's a lot of fun. But tell me a little bit about the different parts of the castells, because they have different names.
Yeah, there are basically three main parts. The most important one and the basic one is la piña, pine cone. The translation, it's the base of the castle, and its function is to support the structure, but also to act as a brake in case of possible falls. Although it might not seem like it, there's a lot of technical things to know to be in the piña, and they have a specific role and position, so it's a crucial part of the castell. Then we have the trunk, which is made of the intermediate levels of the castle. And then finally, we have El Pom de Dalt, which is formed by the Dosos, Aixecador, and Enxaneta, which are basically the smallest people in the group, which are usually the kids, mm-hmm. and are the ones that top the castle.
Mm-hmm. And these kids who are on the top of the castell, they usually wear helmets because, well, sometimes when you watch castells, they can get a little bit shaky and everyone gets nervous. Will they fall? Will they fall? So I guess it's really important for these kids to wear helmets just to keep them safe, right?
Yeah, this was introduced recently. Recently, considering how big the history of castells is, but it was in 2006 where helmets were introduced after a young casteller died. Although it might seem obvious to wear a helmet, at the time there was a lot of people who opposed wearing a helmet and it was a bit controversial, but now we're all used to it and it's great. And in the 200-year history of castellers, there have only been 5 deaths. And the last one was in 2011. Mm-hmm. Although it is very spectacular and the falls are pretty scary for someone who's never done it, studies show that building human towers is no more dangerous than participating in other sports. In fact, since the helmet was introduced, there hasn't been a single serious brain injury in children participating in castells as a result of a fall.
Yeah, and in fact, the biggest worries that people have now who are doing castells is whether the activity can affect the shoulders, right?
Yeah, serious injuries are very rare, but the most important ones are in the spine, and those are really dangerous. And that's probably the biggest challenge in terms of security that castellers have nowadays.
And one of the reasons it has gotten more safe is also because this activity has become more popular and the practice is getting more professionalized. And since the UNESCO nod in 2010, the castells have actually experienced a big boom. Collas or castells groups have in fact doubled from 56 to 102 in Catalonia. And this then has led the activity to become more competitive and has led to some of the biggest collas to start working not only with the physical aspect of doing castells, but also focus on the importance of their mental health.
Our colleagues at the Catalan News Agency talked to one of the biggest colles in Catalonia, the Castellers de Vilafranca, who are implementing a pioneer program to tackle this. Over the last decade, the world of castellers has become more professional, with more frequent and intense training sessions and a strong focus on fitness and technique. The Castellers de Vilafranca, the most awarded colla in the last 20 years, have been at the forefront of this change, but this has also increased the pressure to perform.
There are castellers who say, look, I'm not coming anymore because I don't want to come anymore. And then you start digging and you realize that it's because they could not handle the pressure, they did not enjoy it, and that is unthinkable. We do it because we like it and people should feel comfortable doing it. The colla has to provide the tools so that the castellers can be as comfortable as possible and build castells while having fun.
Ernest Gallard, president of the Castellers de Vilafranca, is leading a groundbreaking initiative to provide mental health training for castellers. Just as they prioritize nutrition and physical care, the new goal is to focus on mental health.
The mental factor in castells is very, very important. The other day in the session, we talked about percentages. What percentage of mental work is there in building a castell? People said 70% mental and 30% physical. So if we believe that, then we need to work on it very hard.
The program has received a lot of positive feedback from its participants, who admit that sometimes coping with pressure, nerves and fears is difficult. Emma and Kiku, castellers who have taken part in the sessions, welcome the initiative.
We're all very aware that the mental part needs to be worked on, but nobody has worked on it until now. I think you can feel it somehow. You can see in some people that they don't know how to handle the pressure. You go through so many stages. Before you do a castell, there is nervousness, pressure. Doing it, the pressure of not wanting to fail. And afterwards, if there was a fall, the fear of failure, the fear that it won't go well again.
Des de la ràbia, l'impotència...
From anger, helplessness and nervousness to joy. Sometimes there are moments of climax when you need to reconnect and get back to full focus.
Andrea Pérez, the psychologist who leads the sessions, has no previous experience in the castellers world and says she was surprised at how professional they were.
In this colla, the goals are very demanding, like in high-performance sports. The goal is to bring your practice to a very high level of excellence, where you master every detail and do things that are unique. Few collas can do what this one does. The psychological part, the mental part, has been somewhat neglected, not just in the world of castells, but in general, in many spaces, right? But now it's talked about more and more. It's getting more normalized all the time.
So far, about 50 to 80 castellers are participating in the sessions. The organizers hope that more will join over time, and the project has already attracted interest from other collas. A first step towards improving the mental health of castellers and making it a healthier tradition.
Thanks to Ernest Gallard, Emma Andreu, Andrea Pérez, and Kiko Fernández for speaking with us. So I find it really incredible that the Villa Franca Colla has over 1,000 members, even though not all of them are technically active castellers, but it's really a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think it's around 500 are active. You need to think that they need a lot of people for the piña, especially if you're doing the biggest castles, which is what Villa Franca does, the most exceptional castles. You need a lot of people supporting that many people going up. In one of the latest castles that the Colla did recently in 2023, they had 500 people just in the piña.
Wow. I mean, just imagine that on a square, 500 people just doing the piña. That is a lot of people.
And then if you count the second piña, the folre, and the castle itself, it's 190 more people apart from the 500 in the piña. So we're talking about nearly 700 people doing a human tower.
What is the weight of that?
12,000 kilos.
Wow, that's really a lot. And another person that was actually pretty impressed with what the Villa Franca Colla has done was American rapper Travis Scott, because he traveled all the way to Catalonia to film a video for his song Sirens with the Villa Franca Colla. And it was a very, very cool video. It came out last year.
It was amazing. And there are some really funny anecdotes from that shooting. Apparently, they did this huge castell, and Travis was like, I'm going up. And they told him, no way you're going up. You can't.
You need technique
exactly.
to do it.
Exactly, you need to know how to. But yeah, it was a beautiful video. And I think it, you know, leaves testimony of a great tradition that we have and opens it to the world. So yeah,
for sure,
check it out.
And tell me, Uriel, are all collas as big as the Villa Franca ones, or are they special?
They are special, but there are a few other collas with similar tradition and numbers as the Villa Franca ones. In fact, there are 9 top collas. Those 9 collas are the ones that have managed to do a Gamma Extra castle, which are the most complicated castles.
Okay, Gamma Extra.
Gamma Extra, it sounds impressive. And each colla has around 300 and 500 members. So they're all pretty big. But there are many, many, many other collas.
Yes, you can basically find collas in every town, in every neighborhood of Barcelona have
Literally.
Their own collas. So what makes Gamma Extra so special? What are we talking about here?
Well, these are really, really hard castells to do. From the 10,000 castells that all the collas in Catalonia do every year, only 60 last year were Gamma Extra. So 0.5%. So it's a really, really exclusive castell. It's very hard. There's a lot of preparation behind it. Last year, the numbers of Gamma Extra castells were lower than previous years. Usually, you would see around 100 castles Gamma Extra every year. But, you know, they are still recovering from COVID, which of course had a negative impact on many collas because they stopped training, basically.
For sure, for sure.
And these castells need a lot of training.
They do. And actually, when I first started seeing castells, I actually thought they were all the same. But then I realized very, very quickly that, in fact, they are very, very different. What are the different types of castells that we can see?
There are many different types of castells. You usually see something like 4D9, 3D2, which means 4 of 9 or 3 of 2. And it's basically the towers, the number of stories mm-hmm. and how many people in each story. So, for example, a 4 of 9 would be 9 stories, and the middle ones in the intermediate section of the castell would have 4 people in each.
It sounds kind of complicated, but when you watch it, it makes total sense. So make sure next time you go and see castells that you count. So how many stories and how many people are in the circle?
It's a huge world and it's complicated. So if you want to learn more, we did a podcast a couple of years ago with more detail on this. So yeah, have a listen.
For sure. And speaking of collas, as the activity gains more and more popularity, new collas, they pop up all the time. And many of these are abroad. For example, in Copenhagen, in Berlin, in Paris, in Edinburgh.
Or even Chile, Sydney, Argentina. And probably the biggest one among the collas abroad is Als Chiquets de Hangzhou, which is a colla in China.
Okay, so when we just go over the list of places where they do castells, there are 17 in total, and there's almost a colla on each continent of the world. The only two continents that are missing are Antarctica and Africa. And one group that we haven't mentioned yet is the Castellers of London. And Uriel, you talked to Stephen Anderson, who's also known as Cus for those in the Castellers world, and he's the president of the colla of the Castellers of London. So let's hear what you talked about.
The Castellers of London were founded in 2015. Since then, the colla has grown and now has around 70 members. Gus, its current president and one of its founders, explains that it all started with a trip to Catalonia.
I went out in 2002 to Valls to some friends had moved out there, and talking, having a meal and drinks with the locals, they started to say about, oh, we're going to go training for Castells, do you want to come along? And I hadn't got a clue what they were talking about, but yeah, why not? So I went along and watched this thing, which I thought was crazy, and I still think it's crazy. I think it's wonderful, but I still think it's crazy.
Creating a colla requires space, people, and knowledge of castells. And in the beginning, the Castellers of London didn't have much of anything. They started as a small group practicing in a park, trying to make the most elementary castells. But soon, everything changed.
We got some families along, which for me was one of the key things. Although, more important, we had somebody in our group, Jan Crochet. And Jan used to be the Cap de Trunc with Saint Cugat. So we had somebody who knew what he was talking about. And that was the thing. I was like, okay, you know, we've got family and we've got somebody who knows what they're talking about. We can have a serious think about this.
To my surprise, they were not all Catalans. In fact, many of them were not. And the colla became a place where cultures came together.
And in those early days, we had more non-Catalans who'd been in collas than we had, you know, sort of Catalans. One of the things I really like about Castells is that if you do Castells, you're a Castellier. And nobody says the French Castellier or the German Castellier. You know, you're not subdivided again. It's one of the positive things, you know, about it. We've got Argentinians and we've got people from Morocco, we've got people from Germany and France and places like that, but it never gets mentioned. So I think a lot of Catalans don't realise how many non-Catalans actually take part in collas.
Apart from uniting people from all over the world, for Catalans it is an opportunity to connect with their homeland and learn a tradition that many of them had never experienced.
Definitely with the Catalans, it's a way of connecting to community. That's a definite thing for people. It's very rare we have a Catalan person who's actually been in a colla. So we have Catalans come along to connect with their culture and to be able to use Catalan to other people, use their first language.
Castells are very common in Catalonia, but abroad not many have seen them in real life. Imagine you're walking around London and suddenly you see a group of people making a human tower. How do they react?
It's embarrassing, but if we do a tower of 5, they can't believe it. And it's like, yeah, it's only a tower of 5 type of thing. But, you know, they sort of, you know, you get such a reaction from doing, you know, you do a pillar of 3 and people are like, oh, wow, that's amazing. It's like, no, actually, this is just an intro. 4 is what we're going to be doing next. Don't get too excited. But yeah, it's a shock to everybody.
Castells are also a shock to insurance companies. In fact, getting insurance in London became a real headache for them.
So when you're applying for insurance, we made sure that we sent photos of what we're doing. So some firms said, oh no, yeah, we can cover you for doing that type of thing. And then they get the photo, oh no, we can't cover you for that. Oh no.
This was just one of the challenges the colla faced. The COVID pandemic hit them particularly hard, as many left the country and never returned.
Most of those people that's involved in that are new. You know, the numbers obviously dropped dramatically with COVID and Brexit as well. So it's fantastic we've had so many new people joining.
Despite losing some of its most experienced castellers, the colla is recovering with many new members and is striving to again do the castles they did before the pandemic.
So as an immediate thing, at least for this year and next year, it's getting the doing sixes on a regular basis. That's what we're going to be aiming for. And then it's growing the number of people and getting the name out there that, you know, that we exist. It's getting more contacts with people.
Thanks to Kat for speaking with us. And now let's return to Catalonia, because one thing that I'm wondering about the castells is, who are the castellers?
So almost all castellers in Catalonia are born in Catalonia and use Catalan as their first language. Although it traditionally was a very male-dominated world, the presence of women has increased a lot in the past decades, and now women make up 42% of castellers in Catalonia.
Okay, but what about women in positions of power in the collas? How is that?
Well, then the figure falls a lot. The two most important roles in a colla are the president and the cap de colla, and these are only held by 25-30% of women.
And now, since having listened to this podcast, maybe there's someone out there thinking, wait, this castells business sounds like so much fun. I want to join. How do I do that? So let me pass this question on to you, Uriel. How do you join a colla?
Well, if you're in Catalonia, it's super easy to find a local colla and just join a practice. Just go there. You can start helping them out with the piña. I'm sure they'll be grateful to have you.
And if joining a colla doesn't really convince you, but you still want to go and see some of these big castells, where do you go?
There are many, many places you can see castells. Actually, again, any local festivity, any local Festa Major, and there's many in the summer everywhere in Catalonia. There's a castell performance, so it's very easy to see. If you want to go see the hardest or the biggest castells, there are 5 diadas or days where you can see them. For example, the Festa Major de Terrassa at the end of June and beginning of July. You have another one in Mataró at the end of July, or in Vilafranca del Penedès in August. And there's many, many diadas all the time.
And if you want specific dates, you can go to castellscat.cat to get all the latest updates on events. You can also learn about history, see photos and videos. It's a really great website if you want to learn a lot more. And now it's time for the Catalan phrase of the week. What is it this week, Uriel?
Fer pinya.
Fer pinya. What does that mean?
There's no translation. It doesn't make any sense, literally. In English, it would be something like making pine cone.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't make sense.
No. In Catalan, it means to join forces with other people to achieve something, to achieve a common goal. It symbolizes, you know, unity, teamwork, the strength of the group. And these are values that I think are very, very present in castellers.
Fer pinya. And that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Please do subscribe to Filling the Sink wherever you get your podcast if you haven't already. And thanks again to the collas of Vilafranca and Cus from Castellers of London for speaking with us. Thanks to you, Uriel. And we'll be back again next Saturday with another episode of Filling the Sink. On behalf of the team here at Catalan News, I'm Lea Belaiva, wishing you a great weekend. Fins aviat. Adeu.